Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 93 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program 195. At the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can receive a copy of it, free of charge, postage and handling taken care of by us also. And just let us know whether you want a tape, an audio tape, or a CD. We'll be glad to send it to you. We have some letters and scripture and also the message of consecration. Now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him. The Lord is enthroned in my heart and in every born again of the Spirit Christian. But let's go to the throne now in heaven where we sit with Christ in heavenly places and ask Him to, as I know He will, anoint everything that's on this tape. And Lord, that the hearers will be able to be saved and understand by the understanding of Your word and by faith in it. And instead of faith in secular power. And then Lord, that the church will be lifted up on high and given grace, in other words, great power. Now, Sharon, you found the meaning of Father, we ask you to all these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Now, Sharon, you found in the lexicon, I've been saying this for years about the word grace, that the false prophets are saying that it's undeserved favor from God. First of all, Christians, if you as a sinner come to the Lord Jesus Christ, humble yourself, confess your sins before Him, and vow to not sin any longer. And let the power of the Lord enter into your soul, into your spirit. Well, then you're saved, and you've given the power to not sin any longer. And this is what grace is. You become a son of God, and it's not undeserved favor, as the false prophets say. What was the scripture that you were mentioning, Sharon, about it to being a grace?
About let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
But that which is good to the use of edifying.
That which is good to the use of edifying.
That it may minister grace.
That it may minister grace unto you. In other words, that it should minister undeserved favor unto you. I don't want undeserved favor ministered unto me. I want to become a son of God. The Bible says that if we if we deserve to be sons of God, then we deserve it, okay? It says that He makes us sons of God. So that's power. Now what that is, it's really power to take a natural person and make them a supernatural person. We always have to remember, if we're Christians, that there's been super put into us and super given to us. And there's a lot of people that don't believe that. And they believe that they should just keep sinning all the time. And that they should keep believing a lie all the time. And that they should just not listen to authority. Now, these new Bibles that are out, they tell you that the authorities of God are the secular government. Well, I keep saying that it needs to be said because people are reading these ungodly Bibles. The original Bibles, which is Hebrew, Aramaic, and the Hellenic Greek, the best translation on them is the King James Version. And all these other versions seem to give the authority over to the Antichrist. It says that these are the voted in by the people, the masses of people, which have always been wrong. Now, how could these be the power of God when they were not given this any power in this world by God? They were voted in, or they inherited power from some other reprobate because they're in the lineage of some reprobate that lived a long time ago. Somebody that wasn't saved. But the Lord states in His word that the Jews are not even ever to have any Gentile king over them. That is an abomination to the Lord. Because the Lord states that Gentiles, that means unbelievers, are dogs and pigs. He puts a pig and a dog in the same category. And people that won't receive his word are dogs and pigs. And they get uptight because we say that. It makes me very unpopular to tell people what the true word of God says. But I'm not ashamed of the true word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation to those that believe the word. It's the power of God. Now, Jesus is the wisdom of God. He's the wisdom for us to be saved of God. Why is that wisdom? Because there's no other, anything other than Jesus to be saved is foolishness. It's satanic. It's antichrist. So then Jesus becomes God's wisdom to us to be saved. So therefore, Jesus is the wisdom and power of God, because there's no other power but Christ to be saved. So Jesus is the power of God for us to be saved, because we cannot be saved through any other. Okay? So the Bible says Jesus is the power and the wisdom of the Lord unto salvation. So if you're trying to use any other wisdom or any other secular power, you're crazy spiritually. You're spiritually crazy. Now, God is the wisdom of God for us to be saved. In other words, Jesus is the Word of God. And if anyone wants to dispute that, and some people told me when I was in prison for the gospel's sake that Jesus never said that he was God. He said it many times. In the book of Revelation, in the Gospels, they asked him if he was the king. It says, we're not stoning you because of anything that you've done. We're stoning you because you say that you're the Son of God. In other words, the same as saying you're God. Okay, and Jesus proved that he was God because they killed him and put him in a grave, and he ascended from death, hell, and the grave. That proved he's God. All right?
Amen.
And then he ascended into heaven in view of over 500 people. Not to mention all the different souls that he raised from the dead before, and all the people that he healed, whole towns of people he healed. Only God can do that. All right?
Yeah.
That's why we have to have God living in us, so that he's his power and his wisdom in us. If we believe that he's in us, a lot of people don't believe that. They get so offended if you say the truth about their sons or their daughters. They just get so upset that they defend them more than they do the gospel. If you tell them what God says, they get extremely angry. But if you tell them what their sons have done, and then finally the son or daughter will come and confess what they've done, and then they just really are ashamed then a little bit, but they're still angry because they did what the Lord said. So the child is actually better than the mother or the dad. All right? Now, come and read that scripture to him. Move out of the way just a minute, please. And then let Sharon come in here and read this. Now, what are we reading here, first of all?
This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29.
And what does it have to do with?
With grace.
What the meaning of grace is?
Yes.
Then you have the lexicon?
Yes.
Okay, now they're all saying it's undeserved favor. Okay, read it now. And then explain afterwards how it has, it relates to what I'm always saying.
Okay. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
So it should minister undeserved favor to people, huh? Do you think that I'm in the ministry to minister undeserved favor to them? To tell them that there's no such thing as sin? You would have to be a very filthy-minded person to think something like this. You're so filthy, you just want some kind of an excuse to sin. Okay, what does the lexicon say?
It says, which God, exerting his holy influence...
What is this?
This is part of the
explanation
breakdown
of what grace is?
Yes.
Okay, then go ahead.
But God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge...
It strengthens them, empowers them, and other gives them power, what grace is. Grace means to do strengthen.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean undeserved favor. It means strengthen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It doesn't mean undeserved favor. It means power, right?
Amen.
Okay, then what does it mean also instead of undeserved favor?
Increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise of the Christian virtues.
Okay, so why would people, the false prophets, call this undeserved favor? Because they want you to believe that you're a sinner and that you can never be anything else other than a sinner. And for people that believe that they're sinners and nothing, then they are destroying what the Bible calls the power, the grace, the power, the grace, the power of God. In other words, they don't believe that God's power is powerful enough to stop a person from sinning or give them the power to not sin anymore. And so they're preaching Antichrist doctrine. They're influencing people to fall away and to just live and have fun with everyday life like Joyce Meyer preaches. That's why Paul said he suffers not a woman to teach. She is a prime example of that, and also Joni Lamb. And I have, other than that, I have nothing personal against them whatsoever. I don't have anything against them other than their false doctrine. Okay. And then what else does it say?
Also, sustaining and aiding.
Grace means sustaining power. Then what else?
And aiding the efforts of the men who labor for the cause of Christ.
It aids them. It gives them power to minister the gospel because you're going to go through persecution. Trials and tribulations. And I just thank God that I didn't get undeserved favor, that I got power from God to be able to endure all these false prophets and to expose them, as the Bible says I must. Not as I should, but as I must. Okay, because I want the powers of Satan to be bound on this earth, and the only way to do it is to expose them. And the proper way to do expose the devil is with the scriptures. Okay, then what else?
The favor of Christ assisting and strengthening his followers and ministers to bear their troubles.
Okay, so the Lord favors them. He's giving them not undeserved favor, but favor because they deserve it. He strengthens them because they're out there doing, letting him live in them and who work in them. And so he's giving them help. He's succoring them. He's giving them power, helping them, helping the people of the Lord continue on to the end. The Lord does not say he doesn't leave us, what, without
comfort.
Yeah, he says he's the comforter, and so he comforts us by helping us, and we feel his strength helping us along, so assisting us, so because that makes us know that we're still saved. So because we're not sinning and we're able to endure persecution. All right, so he's assisting us, succoring us, helping us along. And when I feel him helping and making a way where there seems to be none, and he delivers me from one thing after the other, even while I was in prison for the gospel's sake, there was, the guards were against me because they believed the false things that were said about me in the media. And so they were against me, and they were trying to get people to kill me. There was at least 20 different gangs, 15 to 20 different gangs in each prison I went to. And they would come up against me like the Muslims, and I won them to the Lord. And people would say, it isn't because of what you say that we believe you, it's because that you have no fear in you whatsoever to face these gangs in here, bloodthirsty gangs, the Indian gangs, they're just murdering people, the Mexican mafia, the Nazis, the Nazi skinheads, those people they were saying Heil Hitler and all this stuff in prison. I wonder what good they think that's going to do them at the judgment bar of God. Then you got the Bloods, the Crips, the Bones, all the different gangs. There's just so many of them. I won the leader of the Bone family in Memphis to the Lord. His name was Reggie Jackson. And he wrote three pieces of literature, and we put them out. They were, you know, nice for a young Christian. They were just really nice. And he was a former Muslim. And we see that the literature that I write is winning many Muslims overseas, and even witch doctors and most corrupt people on the face of this earth. People that would love to kill you and would love to kill other people. And some of them have confessed that they murder people all the time and that they now feel sorry for that and they are now winning people to the Lord. So this ministry is... And then we see the black people, the little children over there, so cute and pretty children. And we just sent $50,000 over there. We gave it to the, what's the name of that ministry? What's that? James Robeson Ministry. I asked the Lord, is this guy going to give that money to those kids? The Lord says, if he doesn't, I'll tear him to pieces. So I felt comfortable. I says, I just keep watching him now and then to see if God's torn him to pieces yet. And then I see them feeding the children and everything. And I really am happy to know that that money is going to the kids, the poor little black kids. And we feed the people here in the United States and as much as we possibly can. So $50,000 went over there this last week. We had an extra influx come in from our labors. And there's just so much more. I'm sending Buster is going over there soon with his wife and to check out some of these African and India ministries or people that need help over there. And if they do, he's been being sent over there with between $50,000 and $100,000 to get the food right there, and because I want to know for sure. So instead of sending it through Rod Parsley, which we sent him also $5,000, or James Robeson, we're going to do it ourselves. If those guys can do it, I can do it. That's for sure. I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. And if you do the will of the Lord, you will too, because he has given me grace, in other words, power, to do all things in Christ Jesus. All things, all right? And he gives the same to you, so don't sit around idle. Get busy for the Lord, because the time of his coming is close. Okay, what else does it say about grace, this supposed undeserved favor? This is not undeserved favor. It's the power of God that he gives us.
Yeah.
Then what?
It says, the aggregate of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians.
Powers and gifts. That's what grace means.
Yeah.
Power. The gifts of God are powerful. Like, for instance, I asked for the gift to be able to write. The Lord gave it to me, and it's powerful. You can see all the souls being saved. Amen?
Amen.
It's God's power, not mine, but he gave this power to me so that I can stay saved and I can endure the persecution that comes when I preach the gospel. Because Satan doesn't like you or I. He doesn't, but for sure I know he doesn't like me. Okay? But I know that I have the power of God in me, and I can pray down rain on this earth, or I can ask the Lord to and tell the rain to stop, and it does.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
Okay, but I want it to rain now because we just planted some corn and tomatoes and watermelon and cantaloupe, cucumbers, and also some squash and things like that. So now I want it to rain from time to time. I don't want it to have a drought. And now that I'm a farmer, I've been on farms off and on in my life a lot. I worked out hard in the fields. And so I know that we need rain. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Okay, one more meaning on grace. Used of the power to undertake and administer the apostolic office.
Right, that's the power to do it. Well, I have God's power. I've got His grace. By the grace of God, by the power of God, I'll do all things. Amen? I couldn't do this on my own. And if you're in the ministry, you cannot do anything for the Lord. And we're going to be judged by the works that we do or that we don't do. Now, the Lord says to take up the cross and follow Him. That doesn't mean to just sit around idle or to watch going to a service once a week or twice a week or seven times a week. That means that we are to be busy ministering the word or helping minister the word. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so anything else on that?
No.
Okay, now that's from the lexicon. And I knew this from the Lord. He told me that's what grace means. It means the power of God. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth, power and the truth of God, because Jesus is the truth. He's the Word of God, and the Word of God is the truth. Power and God came by Jesus Christ. Okay, now you got a letter here.
Yes.
Where's it from?
Argentina.
Argentina. Okay, that's in South America. Okay, what does it say?
Peace from the Lord, Pastor Lamo. I would like to thank you for the literature you sent entitled Mass Suicide. They were a great impact, as always, on our lives. I would like to request 15 Bibles as well as Messiah books for the new converts that just got saved. Until next time, thank you very much, Pastor Missionary Ricardo Arias from Tafí Viejo, Argentina.
Right. The Lord has given me the power to aid pastors all over the world. I am now pastoring pastors by the hundreds and even the thousands. People come up to me from churches locally, even Episcopalian churches, and say that our pastor, our priest, they call him, is used. I thought you'd like to know that he's using your literature to bring messages in our church. I said, well, praise the Lord for that. Okay, then what else?
And from Nigeria.
And also, we're just sending all kinds of literature and messages to Catholic priests in different countries. A lot of the priests don't know how wicked the hierarchy is in the Vatican. I have a lot of fellowship with Catholic priests, and some of them are very wonderful people. Wonderful people. They're just ignorant, that's all. Okay, then what?
Dear Pastor Lamo, I have to tell you this. The two pieces of literature you sent to me have made a great difference in the life of my roommate in our hostel. He is a Muslim. I did not give him the literature, but just found him reading it. He said he loved the literature so much. Please, I need as many as you can afford to send to me so that I can distribute to my fellow nursing students. I also need a Bible, the one printed in large letters. Thank you, sir. Israel from Kaji, Nigeria, Africa.
Well, praise the Lord. We'll just send him everything he wants. Okay, then what else?
And from Monterey Park, California, thank you, Pastor Lamo, for the literature. The teachings revealed by God and His Word truly surprises me. I would like you to send me literature regarding the Pope, Antichrist, and the Vatican from Oscar in Monterey Park, California.
Right. I just recently, for a couple of people in the congregation, helped them in buying a piece of property. And the man that I was dealing with on the phone for these two people, when I got out of the car to meet him, he says, my God, I didn't realize that you were so young. That raspy voice of yours makes you sound like you're about in your 70s or something. I said, well, I am 71 years old. And he says, no, you're not. He said he looked like about 45 to 50. Well, people say that all the time, and I have to tell them because they think I'm lying. I say, well, I did this back in 1950. And I was in the Navy in 1951, and they said, no, they look at me like I'm lying, so I have to come out and tell them what age I am. But, you know, I guess because I preach so much, it causes me to have this raspy voice. There was another man that I knew, I met, Brother Aguri, and he had a very raspy voice, even worse than mine. And it was because he preached so much gospel. And, I mean, he was the one that was preaching the message over the radio when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The man just definitely was led by the Lord on that message, and I just went right up to the throne. I had a hard time receiving the baptism because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because every time I'd try, there would be like somebody be flying a model airplane right over my house, and it would be zooming down on the roof, and or else these heretics would be knocking on the door wanting to witness to me from Jehovah's Witnesses, and they just wanted to argue and argue and argue, and not just, you know. And so this time the Lord really aided me, gave me the power to be able to be in the ministry, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when I did, we were living in a shack, $60 a month shack right next to the freeway. You can hear the cars going by. And all of a sudden, just as I was receiving it, there was a big car crash, and it made all kinds of noise and everything. But I just said to myself, I'm not going to let this stop me, and I just kept speaking in tongues. And I never stopped speaking in tongues for hours after that. It was just so supernatural. And I was worried about the people in the wreck, but I knew it was just the devil to try to stop me from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there was all kinds of ambulances out there and everything. And while I was doing that, I was praying, you know, that they were all right, that nobody got hurt. All right, so don't, you know, the Lord is giving you power, but don't let the devil overpower you, because he has no power against the power of God. None whatsoever. So be encouraged when the Lord says that you have the power, and he's given us rulership of the world. Now, you understand that in the garden, Adam and Eve disbelieved God. He said, "Thou shalt surely die." And the devil came and says, "No, don't believe God. Thou shalt not surely die. That God, you're going to be like God, and God doesn't want that." He said he's a jealous God and all these sort of things. So much later, and he says that he doesn't want you to know what he knows. So go ahead and eat from the tree. You're not going to die. But, of course, they did die, and all of humanity fell. And so now God, to those that believe God, that there is a hell and that you will go there, and that you're not going to believe the same dirty lie that Satan told to Adam and Eve, God promised they'd die, and people do die. Now he's telling people that thou shalt not surely die and go to hell. That they, God, there is no hell, it's Gehenna or something like this, and the lake of fire, there's no such thing. But the Lord says that they will go to the lake of fire for believing Satan rather than God. And he promises that there's no more forgiveness if you sin, and that no sinner shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So Satan has his ministers by the millions on earth today telling you things, and Satan is always bombarding your mind to tell you that the very ones that God has sent to you to try to pump power into your brain, that you don't want to believe them. And those are the ones that are going to be going to hell for sure if they don't repent. Now, you people have heard hundreds and even thousands of messages from true people of the Lord, and you better believe what God promises, because no matter what any devil is telling you, the Lord is the truth, and the devil that's talking to you is a liar. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
I believe it too. Because thou shalt die, and the book of Revelation tells us that to be sent into hell where there's torments, and the Bible talks about that all throughout the Bible, especially the New Testament. That's the New Covenant, because the Jews broke the Old Covenant, and so God made a New Covenant that he'd even give us the power to not sin. Christ promised that he would become the Comforter, and he'd live in us and give us the power that we don't sin because he wants to be sure that we go to heaven. But if you disbelieve that, you shall surely die, and you shall surely go to hell in the lake of fire. And believe me, the Bible says it's a place of torment, and that it's eternal. It never ends. So please believe the Lord for your own sake. You know, if you don't do it, I get as much credit whether you get saved or whether you don't, because I'm telling you, and the Lord doesn't discredit me for your unbelief. If you don't believe, that's on you, friend. But if you believe, that's for your benefit, not God's or mine. Because I'm getting the same credit for talking to you about the Lord and telling you the plan of salvation, whether you believe or not. So I feel very good all the time that I give the testimonies. If you want to be hard-hearted, hard-headed, stiff-necked, and unbelieving, and trying to be a smart aleck, you're just hurting yourself. You're cheating yourself if you're cheating God. There was a song a long time ago. I came out of the entertainment industry. You're cheating yourself if you're cheating on me. That was a big song back in the 40s or 50s. Did you ever hear it before? No, because you people were just hatched out recently. Okay? But I have the experience, so I know that song. Okay. Then what else you got there, Lydia?
From the United Kingdom. Dear Pastor Alamo, we used to listen to your ministry on our little shortwave radio at 7.49. The past few nights we have tuned in, and there has not been your transmission.
Right, I know. They took me off that air there because I was telling the truth about the Catholic cult. All right, and the world government. And they got scared because they probably had a few threats. But if you're fearful of the Antichrist, then it's the same as blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But immediately another station picked me up over there, so we're going to give you the call letters of that one. And instead of being on once a day, we're on three times a day now. So the Lord really compensated me. What's the name of that station?
WINB.
W-I-M-N. N as in Nelly, B as in boy. W-Y?
I.
W-I. Okay, I.
N.
As in ignorant. Okay, or italics. Then what?
N.
N as in Nelly.
B.
And B as in boy. And then where's that on the dial?
It's 13.570 frequency.
Read that again.
WINB 13.570 frequency from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., and 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Okay, that's three times a day.
That's Eastern Standard Time.
That's East, of course. You know, it's not over here. That's in Africa, right? India?
Where is the United States Eastern Time.
Oh, it's the United States, but it goes everywhere, right? Okay, it's right here in the USA. Good old U.S. of A. All right? I've got so many stations, I don't even know what they're talking about. You said the U.K., didn't it?
That's where this is from. This station covers the United States, Europe, and part of Africa.
Okay, so it is Africa as well then, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so what else?
He says, please let us know what has happened as we miss this so much. We have also given out all the leaflets and material you sent us.
Okay, we'll get back to them on the telephone or the email and tell them the new times.
We did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Already?
Yes.
Well, you deserve another popsicle. Okay, what else?
People are asking us for more. We are waiting for delivery. Bless you all there. John from Milton Keynes, United Kingdom.
Okay. Then what else?
That's all of them.
That's it. Okay, now let's go with the message of how to have God's life living in you. And this is part 93.
Even after we've consecrated ourselves unto the Lord and have followed the Lord in the way of consecration, that means that we begin living at the cross.
That means that you've donated, you've given your whole self to Christ as a gift because he bought you. And so you just say, Lord, I now admit that you bought me with your blood. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saved now. And so therefore, it's my reasonable duty to surrender my entire life over to you at the cross. So in essence, we no longer are ourselves when we go to the cross. We give up the ownership of ourselves and give ownership to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we no longer own ourselves, and so he, because we've given ourselves as a gift to him, is now, we've given him the authority to use us in whichever way he wants. If he wants, but he said that he wants us to go to the cross and die out our old life there, and to surrender everything to the Lord to use as he will. It's his will, and it's not ours anymore. So whatever he tells us to do, if he says, Tony, you board on a plane and go to Africa, well, I have to go to Africa. If he says, go to India or someplace else, and I've never wanted to go to Africa. Okay, because I don't know, I just don't like heat that much, and I hear it's very hot over there. 115 at present time over there, and I just don't like that, especially if it's humid. But if the Lord said to go there, I have no say in it. I belong to him. I'm his to do with what he wants. Amen?
Amen.
So when we go to the cross, we die out to our old life, and he enters into us and gives us new life, eternal life, and the power and the wisdom of God is ours then, so long as we continue on not sinning to the end. And if we sin ignorantly, we have an advocate with the Father by his Son, Christ Jesus. So in other words, we can say, Father, we ignorantly sinned and we're not going to do it anymore. That means if we repent. But if we try to tell everybody that we now don't have to do anything that Christ did at all, that's a lie. And that we can just sin, that's a lie. And I don't want you to believe it. God doesn't want you to. Because if you do, you're going to wind up in hell. And if you think that the Lord has saved you to get a new car, a new house, to send your kids to college, and all that kind of stuff, that just shows me that you haven't read the Bible. The Bible tells you that he didn't save you to have a new car, have every good day, and, you know, as Joyce Myers tells you. What does she say? Increase living? Enjoy everyday life. There's no such thing in Christ. It's not every day. There's something new every day. Amen?
Amen.
I don't see that in the Bible at all. She's preaching false doctrine. And she's like one sinner destroys many people's souls. And she acts so smug and everything, but she's a false prophet. She just tells people, have fun, fun, fun. It's the same thing with T.D. Jakes. Have fun, fun, fun. How are you going to know about the world unless you get out there and live it? Sometimes the Lord does tell you to do something that a lot of people might think that you're a sinner doing. But if you're following what the Lord said, and don't think that the Lord has told you to do something that is against his word. If the Lord is telling you to do something, you don't know whether it's of the Lord or not, call me. Tell me what it is, and I will counsel you, because most of the people don't have a very strong relationship with the Lord as I do. Call and tell me what your vision was or your dream, or email me, and I'll answer it for sure personally. All right? Then what?
We begin living at the cross, and that means...
Yeah, we begin having new life at the cross. We die there, then we become... we're not any longer ourselves, but we're now the Lord's. And he starts representing himself in us and through us. Then what?
We die there, and we find our life in our consecration there.
Yeah, consecration means that we've surrendered our entire life over to the Lord. And we only do what he says to do. And he says to obey those that have the rule of you, and that's not the Antichrist. When God gave the rule of this whole earth over to Adam and Eve, that was conditional, as if he would believe. He gave them rules and regulations and what not to do. He says, but in the day that you eat from that tree, you will surely die. That was a promise. And so he did. And now what he did when he disbelieved God and believed Satan instead, she did, and he went along with it because he figured that God's going to kill her and I don't want to be without her. She's the only woman on earth. And what am I going to do without my woman? What am I going to do without my woman? As the Bee Gees sing, right? Lonely days and lonely nights. What am I going to do without my woman? So instead of believing that God could raise up another woman, he just went ahead and says, oh, well, and bit from the fruit. Right? Oh, well. With that kind of oh, well attitude, it's for sure you're not going to enter heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We need the commitment of unceasing consecration.
Yeah, unceasing obedience to the Lord. No matter if you feel that you're going to do without your woman or your man or whatever, and he's, Lord, you know, maybe your husband does something so wrong that he has to be put out of the church, because the book of Revelation tells you in the 11th chapter that measure people by the word of God. And if they don't measure up to the word, put them outside the church. Put them outside with the dogs, the pigs, the Gentiles. And so when you do that, now the Antichrist government says, oh, that's evil. They're judging people with their own judgment. But that's the judgment of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so God, you know, God is not going to help you if you obey Antichrist and disobey him. You're not going to be helped by the Lord. Then what?
We need also the constraint of his love in order that we are able to touch Christ.
Yeah, we need to receive the love of God into us, the same personality God has. You can't say, I hate this person. Or I just can't, I hate this person. It's your sister. Instead of just saying, you know, we had a couple of people. One of them was mowing the lawns out at one of the locations of our churches. And one of the people asked, can he go to the dish room? And I said, well, if he wants to. So they didn't give the whole message to him. They said, he has to go to the dish room. He said, my God, if I have to go to the dish room, I'm leaving this ministry. I'm going. And so I told the sisters in the office to tell him that he doesn't have to go in the dish room. I don't put people in jobs that they absolutely don't want to do. Even though the first thing I learned when I was a Christian, that whatever the Lord tells you to do, if you belong to the Lord, and whatever those that have the rule over you tell you to do, do it. If you have a complaint, just say, look, I do the lawns here, and there's nobody else that'll do it, and I'll be glad to go anywhere you tell me. That's just what Buster says all the time. He didn't want to go to Africa or India, but he's going. And he says, whatever you say, because the Lord told me to obey you. And so he's going there, and it's going to be, every place I've sent him, it's been a wonderful blessing. Because I have nobody else that I would trust their opinions. Buster's a businessman and everything, and he understands warehousing and all that. He understands trucking and all kinds of things like that. He understands business. And he understands the Lord very well. So I can send him places. But some people, they get upset. Susie told me when I was first saved, as I mentioned before, there was a person that was, we were all using one bathroom. And so one person would go in this guy, and he'd lap a big ring of scum around the tub and wouldn't clean it up. And I said, Sue, tell that dude to do clean that tub, will you? And she said, now, Tony, you go in there and clean it. I says, what for? And I said, he's using my brush and it's giving me dandruff. And she says, well, look, Tony, you're supposed to be dead right now. Just receive it and just go in and clean the tub. And God has got a big ministry for you. That man is never going to be anything the Lord. He's always going to be broke. He's always going to have these problems. And your God is going to lift you up really high. So I went in and washed the tub. And I just cleaned the brush after he used it. And sure enough, he fell away in a couple of weeks. And I never had to be bothered with that slob again. Okay? Never had to be. And the Lord did exalt, you know, he lifted me up and put me on many different levels above that man and many other people in this world. And I just, that's the way to be. Don't murmur and complain about whatever you're asked to do. If there's a problem with it, you say, I've got, this man had bad feet. He was standing in water and everything in there, and he had to get out because his feet were getting all corrupted. Why, I have no idea. He should have bought rubber boots or asked for them, but he didn't. And so this is the way it goes. You, if you belong to the Lord, don't refuse to do anything he wants you to do. Okay, and then what?
We need also the constraint of his love in order that we are able to touch Christ and that his sweetness touches us.
So that as it touches us, then we are able to let Christ represent himself in and through us. Okay, but if you're bitter and you're always feeling sorry for yourself, then your eyes are focused on yourself and not the Lord, and you'll never get healed. If you really want to get healed, then focus on the Lord and on helping others, and the Lord will help you. That's the way it works. That's the way it says in the Bible. Then what?
Sometimes when we consecrate ourselves, if we're not totally dead, if we're not totally on the altar, the consecrated one will sometimes suffer pain, for sure, and they'll even suffer loss. But only those who frequently let the love of God touch them will be able to find sweetness in their pain. The early apostles were very much despised and imprisoned. They considered their consecration, their suffering, and all the things that they suffered a glorious thing and a joyful thing.
Right, I mean, you don't want to go to prison, but when you go there, you just praise and thank the Lord because you know that God has entrusted you with a prison ministry to go in there. And there's always something new there, and there's a life in prison. And it's not, you get lonesome for your loved ones, and that's the worst part. That's the worst part, but I mean, you know that it's for the Lord. Okay, then what else?
They considered their consecration, their suffering, and all the things that they suffered a glorious thing and a joyful thing, since they were deemed worthy to be insulted for the Lord and persecuted for the Lord's worthy name. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 through 41. The martyrs throughout the generations could always joyfully accept the suffering of death, and they were not willing to forsake the Lord's name, because they had touched the sweetness of the Lord, and the Lord's sweetness had touched them, and had been constrained by his love.
Well, they were just overwhelmed with his love. You don't know why you love Jesus. I mean, you have to read the Bible to know why you should love him. It's just unbelievable. His love is past knowledge. And so the only knowledge we really have in the world is the Word of God and the words that the Lord has given others, their testimonials and the things that the Lord has given them to write and to preach. Okay, then what?
The love between us and the Lord, therefore, must always be regenerated on a daily basis. In other words, renewed.
Right, we have to start out each day as though it's our last, and make sure that the Holy Spirit is working in and through you, which is Christ, with the Father by the Spirit, because you don't know that you're going to live another day. And you don't want to, whatever the kind of condition you're in, the kind of opinions you have and everything, will go right up before the throne of God the minute the breath is taken out of you. And do you know that the attitude that you presently have would go into heaven? No corrupt thing shall enter there. And so if you're corrupt right now and the breath went out of you, you'd be corrupt when you'd be in heaven. Because heaven, the difference between heaven and hell is just one breath away. Or heaven, the earth and the great white throne. It's just one breath away. One heartbeat away. You can go out now. So the thing is, you got to renew your commitment to the Lord on a daily basis and all throughout the day. You have to make yourself do it, because it won't happen naturally, because everything with the Lord is supernatural. Okay, then what?
The motive of love is love must be maintained in us in order for our consecration and service, that it may always be fresh and sweet. To wind this up, a stable and intense supernatural consecration requires these two items. One item is to have a basis, a reason, that is, to realize that you and I, by ourselves, have been bought by God, that you and I belong to Him, and that we must, if we want to be consecrated and go to heaven, we must ourselves give ourselves to Him in such a way. The other reason is to have a motive, that is, to see that the love of the Lord God toward us is indeed very great, very big, and that this love constrains you and I so that we will willingly consecrate ourselves to Him.
Right, when you know the Lord loves you and likes you, and that you know that heaven's door is open at the moment, keep yourself that way by obeying Him. Because the Lord loves you only because of the fact that you are touched by the reason or the basis that He bought you, and then also the motive that you can feel that the doors of heaven are opened up because He loves you, and that He pours out His love to you and lets you know that you're saved and you have eternal life. Okay, and then what?
Many people that are Christians today don't have any idea what the meaning of consecration is. So I'm going to tell you. When a person is able to understand the reason for consecrating ourselves, and when they become able to understand the motive of why they should consecrate themselves, then they should be willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord, to God. You may ask, what is consecration? What is the meaning? Why should we be consecrated? Is it scriptural? Is it important? Well, the Bible tells us that we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God.
So every word is important. Amen?
Amen.
To receive and do it, then what?
So here's some of the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, quote, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Brethren are those that really believe the Word of God. By the mercies of God, the mercies of God is that He died for us, and then He shows us what we must do in order to maintain our salvation, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, unquote. By this verse, the Bible shows us that the meaning of consecration is for us to be a living sacrifice unto God. Then you may ask, well, what does that scripture mean, to be His sacrifice? What does that mean? What, you ask, is a sacrifice?
Yeah, it's what the meaning of a sacrifice is. Well, all the burnt offerings in the Old Testament tell of the people that have sin on their soul. They bring burnt. They bring a sacrifice from their field, or an animal, and they take it before the priest, and the priest cut its neck off. And when they cut the neck off, the head comes off too, and they're dead. And they cut the hide off of it and cut it into pieces. That's the sacrifice. They die. Their life is not the same as it was. They're not in their stall any longer. They're not in the field any longer plowing. Their plowing days are over. And that's when we give ourselves to the Lord. Our plowing days are over. The way we lived before is over. The way we laughed before is over. The things we laughed at before are over. Okay, and I see that our time is over right now. I have to end this service, and we'll continue on in tomorrow's service, which will be part 94. So, but before I leave you today, God wants you to give your life unto Him. And the way you start doing that is it's a progression. the first thing you do is say the sinner's prayer so that the Spirit of God can enter into you with the Father, with the Lord Jesus. And then you're born again and you have the power to do a work and to obey the Lord. So right now, let's say this prayer so that you can be saved and so that you can be honored by the Lord, and that this world needs to be saved. We pray that there be more laborers, because the harvest, the time of the Lord is at hand, and there's few laborers. So say this prayer and become one of the laborers. Say unto the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, this is a promise, and you've always kept your promises. So, therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And keep thanking and praising the Lord and searching the Scriptures so that you'll know the difference between the truth and between the truth and what a lie is. And so right now, Sharon, tell them how they can receive a copy of this tape, audio tape or audio CD. Please specify what you want, completely free of charge, and the postage and handling is handled by us, too. All right, tell them.
You go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Your life cannot be your own any longer. Come on, let's start doing something for the Lord. Let's do something, let the Lord do something good in you, amen, so that you can get into heaven. Well, praise the Lord. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for part 94 of How to Have God's Life Living In. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Bless you.